Join us as we set sail on Princess Cruises' beautiful Ruby Princess through the British Isles from August 15th through the 27th, 2014. Come be a part of our exciting adventure with a salute to the Veterans Cruise.
On August 15, 2014, we embark from London. For 12 days, we visit exciting ports, including Cork Island, where you can kiss the Blarney Stone.
Also offered during our salute to the Veterans Cruise are several historical shore excursions, such as attending the world-famous military tattoo held at Edinburgh Castle in Scotland and walking the beaches of Normandy where D-Day occurred.
Call Avanti Travel now at 244-1400 to reserve your space for this once-in-a-lifetime adventure. When you reserve early, you receive stateroom upgrades, specialty dining advantages, and extra onboard credit. It's our salute to the Veterans Cruise, August 15, 2014, to the British Isles for veterans, family, and friends. Call Avanti Travel at 244-1400 and reserve your space now. And join us as we make memories. CST number 2007495-40, Bermuda and Registry.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
The Dr. Russo Show. Health is more than just a pill. Tune in every Saturday, 1 to 2 p.m.
Exploring the various roads to health with me, Alexandra Russo, and my husband, Dr. Dan Russo, as we discuss physical, mental, spiritual, and environmental well-being. We look at the whole person, body, mind, spirit, and environment. We believe health is an interconnected outcome of these 4 aspects of life. Our mission is to empower you with knowledge and support so you can begin to heal yourself and not become dependent on prescription pills. We want to help guide you on your journey to true health because your health is in your hands.
The Dr. Russo Show. Health is more than just a pill. Tune in every Saturday, 1 to 2 p.m., or listen on the web at KCNR1460.com. KCNR 1460 AM, community talk radio for the North State. Miss a day, miss a lot.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, what? Redding. Whoa, got my volume cranked up here. I'm the man.
Well, I'm deaf, so
sorry. Yeah, hello, deaf. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460.
Oh, sure.
And we are streaming live at wethepeopleradio.us.
And chatting.
And
We're chatting. We will be chatting when our computers power up.
That's right. And today we have a special guest, and if you would like to call in, our number is 605-4567. And Aaron.
Bill.
Talk to me. You got here on time today.
It's always a race. It's Sunday morning.
Well,
you
was driving, so I think that's part of the reason.
I know, we let Bill drive because he put new windshield wipers on the truck.
Oh, man, nothing like driving with new windshield wipers.
Gotta love that.
I was kind of hoping it would keep raining, but it was kind of not trying to rain this morning.
Cheated us out of our windshield wiper newness. Okay, so let's see. Notes. Okay. So today's program is the 1, 2, 3, 4. Is this the 6th program we've done with you? That's crazy. That can't be right. Is that right, Fred?
What year is it?
I know, because I'm like, okay, October 24th of 2010, January 9th of 2011. So either there are, some of them are video. I've got all these links on here. I'm just looked down. I'm like, what?
I think it's been about 2 years since we've had him on the radio.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I know, 2011. You were really popular in 2011, and then you obviously fell out of favor.
That was a big year.
We figured out how to book other people.
That's right. I met with some of my old friends in Baltimore a couple of years ago and had dinner, and we read parts of my book, and we all agreed that it's really a shame when the high point of your career happened 40 years ago.
Yeah, but Bill learned from William Shatner that you can't be a has-been unless you were a once was.
You had to be a once was. And that's good to be a has-been, because that means you were somebody.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you were the man yesterday, Reading City Council Chambers. We had a pretty full house there with Fred.
Yes, this is just so we tie up our loose ends and minimize the chaos. This is Fred Kelly Grant that's joining us, the man with three names. And sometimes you'll hear him called Fred Kelly. Sometimes he's Fred Grant, but his real name is Fred Kelly Grant.
Well, yesterday
there are other names too.
I'm sure there are a few other names. We were just discussing.
It was Mr. Kelly yesterday a couple of times. Too,
I know, that's what kind of made me laugh. You're going to find out that. Oh. Why are you reaching for the button?
In case he dropped his other name.
I know, that was kind of funny.
Oh, I know not to say that.
Robert, Bob looked like he was in a game show. He had his hand over the button.
The correct answer is...
Obscenities for 500.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yes, yesterday, Reading City Council Chambers, we were going after CARB.
You're going to be going after CARB a lot. We've now brought in the big guns.
That's right.
The man with three names.
They're going to be sorry they messed with Reading. That's right.
Yeah. So,
what the heck was that?
You're going to take him down. I couldn't whistle because I have this wicked headache. There's something going on. Nothing like sleeping all night on an ice bag. The right hand side of my face is like, you know.
My wife has the same problem.
God,
you know, she keeps telling me about how great California is and how much better it is than Idaho, where she moved to live with me, but we come here and she gets allergies right away.
Imagine that.
You know, that just, she says it's the punishment of California for her moving away.
Oh, I thought it was liberalism.
Well, no.
Same thing.
That was bad until we got north of Red Bluff.
Yeah, and then it's like, where the air is cleaner, not that you would know that by the regulations.
No, and as a matter of fact, there are some studies that show that Del Norte County is one of the dirtiest air counties in the world.
Del Norte County?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
right,
because
New Jersey, or
well, because they set cleanliness based on all kinds of things, not just clean air, but poverty, unemployment,
poverty causes pollution.
Well, it causes unhealthy situation.
And
they don't count that, you know.
They have a prison there, so those people don't have any money, so that probably jacks it up.
Well, the unemployment rate is high.
Yeah,
it's very high.
Yeah.
And there are experts that say that 40% of the health of a community is based on things other than the natural environment. Unemployment, stress, all kinds of things.
Hmm.
So
we regulate it and make more people poor.
Right.
Which makes it worse.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That makes perfect sense. It must be a government idea. Yeah.
Well, they don't, none of the agencies consider that. That's one of the reasons why, and we'll talk about it later, I assume, but that's one of the reasons why the Council on Environmental Quality insists that the human environment is important. But these agencies don't pay attention to that.
Well, the human element is the least of their concerns, I think, at times.
I know we need to start an environmental group that files endangered species things for people.
Well, one of the things we need to look at is start talking about environmental justice. That's a provision of the law that is always ignored by the agencies. One man testified yesterday and mentioned the fact that he was retired and living on Social Security. Well, they don't ever consider the impact of these regulations on those people.
Sure.
Never. Mm. And yet they're supposed to under the law.
And they're the same people who always want to make everything equitable. And take everything away from anybody who has anything and give it to the poor. But their regulations pretty much screw the poor into the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's kind of like nonsense. So tell us about yourself, Fred. I could read it off a screen, but it's much more fun when you give us the story because it's always different. I like it.
Well, it changes. I have to be a moving target.
I like that.
Yeah. I bet you are a moving target no matter where you go.
Especially right now, because one of the cases that we are working on that I'll tell you about is in Maryland, where we're helping the fishermen try to maintain their livelihood crabbing and oystering in the Chesapeake Bay. The governor and the EPA want to stop that.
Of course they do.
And it's a relatively new industry starting in 1620. But now all of a sudden it's dangerous. So I really am a moving target back there because a lot of the people who are pushing those regulations, I encountered many, many years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, Maryland, you were in Maryland before.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, I was chief of the organized crime division in Baltimore for many years. And then my boss, was appointed to the Court of Appeals and the new state's attorney wasn't really hot on organized crime, so I left. And started defending the people that I'd been prosecuting for several years.
You'll show them.
That's right. You don't want me prosecuting them, I'll defend them.
I'm going to fight somebody.
And then I left to come back to Idaho when my oldest son was 6. My late wife decided Baltimore schools were not for him. We had bought a house very close to one of the best elementary schools in town. We carefully looked for it, found it, and just about a month before school was to start, the Cardinal Archbishop decided that Catholic schools should be integrated just as the public schools, and so they were going to bus children. And our first grader was going to be put on a bus and taken to a school in an area where a police officer did not go alone.
Nice.
Police officers, if they got to that area, they stopped and waited for backup before they went in. And so I thought she was probably right. We came home. I served as counsel to 2 governors, got my taste of political law, and thought from that standpoint that defense of criminals was far cleaner. and then, as you know, 25 years ago, I started working for ranchers and farmers. And that grew to now loggers, fishermen, everybody. Everybody who is besieged by the EPA in particular and all of the state agencies that it governs.
So fighting the government is your specialty.
Fighting the government. And it's a challenge. It's fun to win. But the main thing is it's fun to see people get empowered, mm-hmm. to see individuals and local governments find out that they do have a way to deal with the feds.
Nice. And that's the biggest problem is people don't know how to deal with it.
Exactly. They've been intimidated so long. It started off not as intimidation. It started off with federal grants and the mm-hmm. conditions put on them. You know, this is a great way for you to build your community. And then they got the money and found out that the conditions required them to do things that they never would have done before. One tiny little town in Idaho. When I was with Governor Evans, I was head of the Law Enforcement Planning Commission as well as his counsel, and a police officer came in from this tiny little town and he wanted a stopwatch. And I said, well, a stopwatch, why, you know, we didn't have grants that small. I said, why do you want a stopwatch? He said, well, so I can time speeders and get revenue for the town. And I said, how about a radar gun? And he was just ecstatic.
Oh, that was a reach,
so,
huh?
Oh, yeah. So we got him a radar gun, but the conditions on it required that he hire a deputy, and that the city do certain things, and it actually tripled their budget, which broke them.
Nice.
So those things, that's the way it started. And then as they got people trapped into these grants, then it became regulatory. And now today they still give the grants in order to get control, but they don't need that. Today by executive order, they're making law. And the president has decided that if Congress won't do these things, then I'm going to do it by executive order and we'll do it anyhow.
Yeah, we'll just get the bureaucrats to do it.
Right.
And you know, in a lot of cases, they're totally just buffaloing them. I met with some folks in the Forest Service, and there's some people there, they're trying to require them to take their mailboxes down on the forest lands, you know, where they have the vacation homes and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the Forest Service people kept saying, well, we want this and we want that. And I'm thinking, I don't think you get to want stuff. Don't you just get to do regulation? So I don't know a lot about regulation. So I said, well, hey, let me see your regulation. And it was like, squirrel, you know.
Yes.
All of a sudden we talked about all sorts of other stuff. I'm like, wait a second, let me see the regulation.
No, that's right.
So she swivels it around in this big, giant, thick book, you know, and it's one itty-bitty line that says all mailboxes must be approved by authorized personnel.
Right.
Well, what the heck? The mailbox has been there for 50 years.
That's right.
Asked and answered.
It was approved by somebody.
Exactly. A really long time ago. I'm like, that's it? That's all you got?
I think maybe I've told you this story before, but when I was with Governor Andrus, there were grants in those days called state planning grants. And, the federal government, it was HUD that gave them, Housing Urban Development, and they gave grants to the state, and then the state would give those grants out to towns and cities, and it was always for, a development of infrastructure. Well, we had some towns in North Idaho that had water tanks replaced, big water tanks, new water tanks put in. We helped them put in sewage systems and so on. One day, the governor's compliance officer came over in a hustle and said to me that he had just gotten this release from HUD that all of these little towns had to have an affirmative action plan. The affirmative action plan required that they have the same percentage of minority employees that ranked with the percentage of those minorities in the state. Now, we had 6% black in Idaho, but some of these little towns in North Idaho, there were no blacks who lived in the town or even in that section of the state.
Yeah.
And they might have two employees, one part-time, one full-time, and so 1/6 of those 1.5 employees were to be black. And I said, Bob, that can't be. They can't do this. Oh, yes, they're going to take back all of our money. They're going to recall all these grants. So I called the director of HUD in Portland, and I said to her, I told her who I was, and I said, you know, I've just come back from Baltimore, and I'm surrounded by these rednecks in Idaho, and they just don't want to do these affirmative action plans, and I can't find it in the law. So you've got to give me help so I can pound this into them and get this done. Mr. Grant, I know just what you mean. I came here from Philadelphia. Oh, it's tough dealing with these rednecks. I said, it sure is. So she said, I'll get back to you. Well, 4 or 5 days, the compliance officer was just going nuts. So I called her again. She said, Mr. Grant, I've sent that over to our general counsel, and he'll be back with you, and we'll certainly help you. So a week goes by. And in the meantime, I had looked at the statute, and the statute talked about affirmative action plans. And it said, there shall be no requirement of affirmative action plans for recipients of state planning grants. I said, Bob, they can't do it. The statute says they can't. Oh, they've found a way. There's a way. So I called back again, and I said, I haven't heard from your general counsel. She said, oh, Mr. Grant, we're pulling that rule back for the time being. We'll be reissuing it later.
Pulling it back? And I said,
you mean when Congress changes the statute? Oh, you found that. I said, yes, I did. I found that. Well, that's the way they do. They will push. And if you don't look, we later went to some conferences where we found states that actually had forced on their towns those types of plans, never having looked at the statute, never having found out they don't have that power.
See, that's the thing. You always have to ask, under what authority are you doing this?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of times, I mean, like that one, that's so open. I looked right at the lady. I go, that's a fake rule.
Absolutely.
She goes, it's not a fake rule. I said, no, that is a fake rule if I've ever seen a fake rule.
Absolutely.
They have no idea what to do with that.
No, they don't. And they're not trained in that.
She asked me if I was going to continue being sarcastic.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's been so long since
she did recognize that part.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's questioned them in the past. The old way of doing business was if the government came knocking, you just did what you were told and don't question it.
Well, exactly. And the only agency like that I do that with is the IRS. if they say it, I just do it and that's that.
In the long run.
Roll over.
No, but we have been bullied for so long. I think it's almost in our DNA now. Just if you see a badge, just bow down and do what you're told. And a lot of these agencies now have these badges that have no more power than a badge you can buy at a five and dime. They don't have enforcement powers.
Well, that's true.
But people don't know that.
That's exactly right. In fact, our sheriffs didn't realize it until recently. I mean recently by, you know, the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, they didn't need, you know, at the end of the day, It wasn't really pivotal until the last 5 or 6
That's
years.
Right.
And now, I mean, shoot, we even discovered last week that there is a, let's see, it's the Department of Veterans Affairs. What does the guy's card say? Department of Veterans Affairs, Office of the Inspector General, Criminal Investigations Division.
Right.
With a little fake badge on it. It's like, what?
Right.
The VA has police now?
Right. Well, all they have to do is.
I feel left out.
They just have to put that on a card and, you know, nobody questions
it. And everybody falls down.
Get a fancy looking badge and have a good demeanor and you're in the door.
I had a nice gold badge when I was an assistant United States attorney. And I took that out one day when I got stopped for speeding. I opened my wallet to get my driver's license, and the highway patrolman saw that badge, and he said, "You're an assistant U.S. attorney." And I said, "Yes, sir." "On official business?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, you of all people ought to know better." Wrote me a ticket, so I'd never pulled the badge again.
But, so much for that.
Oh, yeah, but you know, people do that. They just don't question the signs of authority.
Yep.
Well, we don't, a lot of times people don't know. And,
That's right.
So for Lord's sake, don't let them in your house. We had a guy last Monday, our speaker was, Sam Paredes from Gun Owners of California. Mm-hmm. And there was a young man there who's a veteran and some law enforcement entity. I don't know what they were. It wasn't the sheriff's office or the police department. It was some other badge holding outfit. Showed up at his door and said, "Well, we see you have a such and such a handgun. We want to check it or check the serial number or something. Do you have it?" And he said, "Well, it's in my safe. Wait here and I'll go get it." But he left his door open, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Poof, they all came in. They took all his guns out of his safe.
Oh, yes.
And Sam said, you kind of let him in. And the guy goes, "But I said wait here." He goes, "Yeah, but you opened the door."
He opened the door.
He opened the door, and I thought, oh, my God.
That's right.
We've gotten to someplace bad. Hey, somebody had a question on here, and I'm trying to roll this back here. They want to know about NACO, capital N, capital A, capital C, small O.
The National Counties Association? Is
I
that what
know.
They're talking about?
M-A-C-O.
Oops.
M-A.
Okay. M-A-C-O. All right. They had N-A-C-O several times. But my screen, every time somebody types something, my screen scrolls away.
They may
Does that
be,
mean anything to you?
They may be talking about the Counties Association.
And there was something about the counties right after that.
Yeah. One of the problems is that the National Association of Counties has never really been in favor much of coordination. Now, why that is, I have my own beliefs. We've tried to work through them. We've tried to work through them, and we've tried to work through the National Association of Cities or municipal governments.
Okay.
But even the state associations of counties don't really, to use an old southern term, they don't cotton to a process that a local government can use on its own. They like to represent counties and cities. They like to have them dependent on them. And quite frankly, it's because of dues. I mean, if a county and a city didn't need that kind of service, then why pay those heavy dues? It's unfortunate because they do have a lot of influence in Washington, D.C. The other thing we find out, though, is that people who have influence in Washington, D.C. aren't interested in coordination, because you've got to remember the people in D.C. Count on and charge for their relationships with the very people who are making these regulations. Often the people in D.C. are involved in the making of the regulations, and deals are cut. You give us this, we won't oppose this.
Mm-hmm.
The national cattlemen do that. A coordination, when we use it, it's used for specific issues that those groups don't have any standing on, because it's got to be the government itself, the local government itself, that exercises coordination.
Yeah, because we see that sometimes, especially up north, where their issue of taking their hydro dams out is trying to be used as a playing chip,
right,
to buy off the environmentalists in the rest of the state. Right. It's like, well, if we just throw you guys under the bus,
that's right,
then we can get what we want in other parts of the state. And it's like, hey, wait a minute.
They're a small
group of people, so yeah, they don't have any say.
That's been a problem from the time I started working with the ranchers 25 years ago. We couldn't get the recreation people to support us at all. They didn't want any part of that because they didn't want to aggravate the Bureau of Land Management.
Right.
And it wasn't until a resource management plan came out and we were able to show the snowmobilers that the closing down of the range was going to close their trails when it snowed. And all of a sudden we had thousands of people.
Suddenly there was interest.
And support us. And then we got the attention of the legislature. People, the various users have always believed, I'll give you an example, the coal and natural gas people. Natural gas has not fought at all the regulations against coal. And I spoke to the natural gas people in Pennsylvania about 3 or 4 months ago, and I said, you think you're in for an easy ride. Your rates are up. You're making a lot of money. No coal, higher rates. But believe me, you're next.
Mm-hmm.
And within 3 weeks, the Bureau of Land Management had a petition before them from the Sierra Club to stop all drilling for natural gas on all the public lands in the West. And the Sierra Club also filed a petition with EPA to begin testing of natural gas where it comes out of a drilling that drills for oil too, first time. Yeah. So now they understand. Some of them understand now that they are next.
Right.
So people have got to realize that it was like yesterday. Today, CARB is after the people with trucks and buses. They'll go after cars. I mean, this is going to happen. It's going to happen.
And I brought that point up yesterday at the meeting. You know, there are exemptions out there for off-road equipment. A lot of the loggers have off-road stuff. Farmers have off-road equipment. Mills have off-road equipment, and they're exempt.
Yeah. Now.
Right now.
Right.
And
now.
So they're not in this fight. And, you know, they should be.
They should be, but they don't they'll be next.
Absolutely. As soon as they get to them, they'll be on the, they'll
pick
be
them
on
off
the next.
One at a time. It's always awesome.
And, you know, you don't unite everybody, and you don't have without that united front, it's much more difficult to fight them. And I really believe that's why they do that.
Well, it is. The ranchers never came to the defense of the loggers, during when the spotted owl was first used to stop logging in the Northwest. Ranchers stood back and said, we're glad we don't have the spotted owl. Well, right. Now the ranchers have the sage grouse.
Uh-huh.
You know,
and the water and everything else. Hey, that's weird. My computer just shut down. Hey, we've got to take a swift break here, and then we're going to come back. We have somebody on the phone from Montana wants to chat with you, Fred.
Okay.
So, Montana person, hang tight. We'll be right back with you in 2 minutes. Thank our advertisers here. You are listening to We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. This is KCNR 1460 AM.
Soul, then it's just your body. tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in a boondocks.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday 4 to 5 right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Commissars in town, that's not Fred. Fred would be the anti-commissar.
Yeah.
Hey, you're joining We the People Radio. You're here with Bill and Bob and Aaron and Fred Kelly Grant. Kind of awesome.
That's seven names.
I know. Isn't that fun? It really sounds crowded. We're stacked in here like cordwood. No, it's kind of nice to have Fred in the studio. It's pretty awesome. And one of your frequent flyers is on the horn there from Montana.
That's what I understand.
Let's get her on there. Elena, are you in there?
Am I on?
Hey, you are. Hi. Good morning.
Oh, cool. Good morning. Hi, Fred. It's been a long time.
Were you glad to not be in New York during this past winter?
Well, let me tell you something. A week ago, we had 40 below. That was 40 below. And we've been having winds and snow that is unbelievable. So,
well, it's good to hear from you. It's good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear you again. Of course, I was the one that was bringing up the NACO and the MACO and all that other stuff because every county in the United States is a member of MACO through their own county affiliates. And then you have the League of Cities and Towns that also take their marching orders from NACO. They were basically backing the Affordable Health Care
Right.
Act. As soon as that was passed, they were training the counties, town had to implement it on the county level. They want our private property through zoning, and we are having a situation here in Montana, and I'm sure it happens all over the place, that they've instituted the SLAP, which I'm sure, Fred, you know, it's the strategic litigation against public participation.
Right.
So if you have the nerve to petition your local government or ask questions or file a suit. MACO comes in through their attorneys and they get you.
That's right.
And they pulled it here in Granite County, Montana, to the point where they countersued a person who was questioning how the government implemented a zoning district. They countersued, same case, and filed for attorney fees, and they took his property.
Okay.
So he had to go in, pay the amount up front to get gain back his property. We are also having a number of false arrests here in Montana. If you protest or question anything about what's going on, the foreclosure, the illegal foreclosures on property, a woman just a couple of weeks ago was arrested for protesting in front of a building. She spent 22 days in jail because she refused to give them her Social Security number. But this is basically what they're doing. And then, you know, we have a problem with the Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribe Water Compact.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
A legislator turned it down, but it's still kicking around, and that will set a precedent, not just for what's happening here in Montana, but all of the United States if that goes through.
One of the interesting things, Elena, is that the Montana legislature somehow went to sleep and allowed a compact with the Forest Service to go through several years ago, giving the Forest Service water rights in the state, which the United States Supreme Court had said they don't have. I never could figure out how they went to sleep and let that one through, but that's still plaguing you, too.
So much for things are better in Montana.
Cockroaches. I'm sorry.
So much for, I mean, people in California think, oh, if I just moved to Montana, I'd have total freedom.
Now, I was surprised when I first went to Montana. There's a lot more active environmentalists there than I expected. It's not a straightway conservative state the way I thought.
We're sorry.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. That's because, you have these association of counties.
That's right.
And they're basically, you know, they train your county commissioners, and then they lobby
for
what they want.
When a commissioner is first
and
elected, they also
provide grants and shows and, you know, help. So they just go ahead and do whatever the association tells them to do.
That's right. When commissioners are first elected, they go to a school that is put on by the Montana Association of Counties, the Idaho Association of Counties, and they, quote, teach them, quote, what their duties and responsibilities and authority is. And nowhere do they show them that they have this kind of authority under coordination with the agencies. There's only one group of legislative or government officials that understands and supports coordination, and that's ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council. Nick Dranius, who's the constitutional director at the Goldwater Institute, and I helped Senator Sylvia Allen write the coordination statute for Arizona. Arizona has a statute that requires local governments to coordinate if a citizen petitions that they coordinate. And we took that statute to ALEC, and they adopted it as a model statute. And it's the only organization of elected officials that I know that has taken that position.
Wow.
Fred,
I'm glad you're kicking around again. I have a problem with ALEC, and I think they're promoting the Convention of States, and I'm dead set against that.
And Nick and I argue about that on a regular basis. Yeah, Nick and I argue about that on a regular basis.
Hearing you again, and I just want to say that you're going to start hearing about what's going on in Montana, because what happens in Montana is not going to stay here. There's a lot of things coming up about the corrupt county governments, what's going on, and so you'll be hearing a lot from it.
Elena,
thank you for this show.
You want to watch
what? Thank you, Fred, for being.
You want to watch
back.
What's happening
again.
In
California.
You want to watch what's happening in California too with this diesel emission program, because it's not stopping here. It's going elsewhere.
No.
Fred, I think...
Well, join us. I was just going to say thanks, Elena, for calling. You sounded like she was going to hang up, so I was just going to say thanks for calling in, and glad we're looping in Montana.
Yeah.
If you have any people that you'd like to hear on the show, send them our way.
Will do. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
I think Montana is a state that the environmentalists went in and started the whole uproar over the prairie dogs, wasn't it, where they're now having problems with their airport.
No, that's Utah. That's where Elizabeth is.
Oh, is that Utah?
That's right by her house.
Okay. Montana, keep in mind, has most of the bigger cities have a university there. And they are very liberal universities.
Yeah.
Very liberal.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, it's quarter till. We're supposed to take a break at quarter till, which we never do, so we had this unnatural pause, which must have been you drilling us. Eh? Do you have a musical interlude for us? I'm just not used to you.
We need to take a break.
We are
professionals.
We are. We had a guest one time, Fred. It was so darn funny. The guy's like, "Isn't it time to take a break now?" I told the guy, I go, "We're supposed to take a break like every quarter hour." So he like had his watch set. It's like, well, thank goodness for him. Otherwise, we'd be all over the place.
Obsessive about it.
It was too. I don't remember who that was, but it was funny as heck. 2 hours, the guy was like, "Yeah, isn't it time?" Living in America. Still, for the time being.
For the time being.
Hey, we'll be back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back with Fred Kelly Grant, and we are going to talk about CARB. We've been fooling around, but we're going to talk about CARB for sure.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef John Spadelli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Grandma Velia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know, if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
Hi, I'm Vicki Leda from Amazing Foods for Life, gluten-free baking mixes made with ancient grains. At Amazing Foods, we're here to help you make living gluten-free easy and healthy. Often it can be difficult to find fast, easy, and delicious treats. With our cookies, cakes, muffin mixes, you can have bakery fresh in your home in about 20 minutes, while at the same time adding protein and omegas to your diet. Amazing Foods for Life is produced in a dedicated top 8 allergen-free environment. Check us out at AmazingFoodsForLife.com or at Orchard Nutrition Center, Tops Market, and many more.
Be the People and Sovereign Minds want to invite you to the second annual banquet and fundraiser for Conservative Talk Radio at Wind River Casino on March 8th. Doors open at 4:30, dinner is at 6:30. There will be an auction, raffle, and a dessert auction with dinner. For more information, contact Patrick Jones at 530-222-3223 or Linda Kent at 221-0101. Wind River Casino, March 8th, 2014. Thank you for your support.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Little Montana song for Elena.
There you go.
Nice job, Bob.
Yeah, Bob. You're joining We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460, and we're with Fred Kelly Grant, and we're going to talk a little bit about CARB. That was the hot topic yesterday at the City Council meeting.
We're going to talk a lot about CARB. You're going to hear about CARB
until
11 o'clock today.
CARB's not going to want to hear about CARB when we get done with them.
They're going to want to change their name. What do you think, Fred? Can you make them do that?
I think they'll be ready to change our name before we finish.
Oh,
blowback. So, okay. Explain to people, we've been throwing around the term coordination and it kind of didn't dawn on me. Maybe there are folks that don't know what we're talking about.
The federal government, Congress passed a statute in 1976 that established the process of coordination and defined it as meaning it's a process of communication and negotiation that allows a local government to require a federal agency to come to it and to negotiate terms to make every practicable effort to meet consistency with local policy. Now, what does that mean with regard to CARB? It means that if CARB has regulations requiring these expensive filters to be put on trucks and buses, and the city of Reading, for example, has a policy that says that that's not necessary, not lawful, and that that if it became necessary, it should be done only by attrition, only by new trucks when they have to be bought. Coordination says that the state agency or the federal agency should come to the city of Reading and begin to negotiate as to whether or not they can make their rule change to be consistent with the policy of the city. Now, that law applies, the coordination applies in every environmental statute, because every federal environmental statute has the term coordinate in it with local government. And when Congress defined it in the Federal Land Policy Management Act, which applies to grazing, the rule is that when Congress defines a term, then every time it uses that term in any similar statute, it means the same. The United States Supreme Court and Professor Sutherland, who's the leading expert on statutory construction, have always held. It's called in para materia. That's the legal, that's the Latin term for it. In other words, statutes alike, words are used alike, unless the Congress redefines it. Well, they never have. And so the definition of coordination that requires consistency applies in every statute, including the National Environmental Policy Act. The National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, requires that any major federal action, there be an environmental study done, and that study must be done in coordination with the local government. Now, what CARB has done here is a major federal action, because major federal action is defined as when there's any part of the action that has been financed by federal funds. Doesn't have to be totally paid for it, even partially paid for. And also, if there's any approval required or involved by the federal agency of what the state agency's done. Mm. CARB meets both definitions.
Sure, because there's a ton of money being funneled. Like, one of the things they were doing, just the slippery way they get federal money, it may not be necessarily that the federal government is funding them, quote-unquote funding them, but they've developed things like charging fines on military installations that have generators that power up randomly that do our air defense and that sort of thing. They fined one military installation $191,000.
So that's federal funds.
Yeah, they've been doing a ton of fundraising off the federal government.
Plus, your coordination committee that serves the city found grants of over $7 million that came to California specifically for this program. So that part of major federal action satisfied. The other part satisfied, too, because EPA has approved the regulation that CARB has issued, and they've approved their program. As a matter of fact, CARB initiated the standard that EPA has now adopted. Now, it's kind of when the city insisted that CARB come to coordinate, they said, well, no, we're not subject to NEPA because this is not a federal action. In a lawsuit in Sacramento, where the truckers sued CARB, they moved to dismiss saying you didn't sue the EPA and they're an indispensable party because this is a federal rule and so the case should be dismissed. And the judge ruled with them. Now, that's on appeal now. So on the one hand, in court, they say this is a federal rule. To the city of Reading, they say it's not. And so we don't have to comply. It's very, very disingenuous position they're taking. It's not unusual for a federal agency or a state agency to take those inconsistent positions because they want to evade coordination as much as they want to evade the lawsuit. Sometimes more. They want to evade it more because it reduces their feeling of superiority and supremacy over local government.
Right. Yeah, I think most of them are terrified of coordination. They don't even want to hear about it.
Well, they really don't. The Bureau of Land Management fought us for years with ranching. And finally, and in fact, there was a liaison between the Secretary of Interior and Congress and the BLM, and she and I debated probably seven times at different
that
meetings.
That was fun.
It was, and she was a very nice lady, very smart lady, but she took the position that cooperating agency was the law, not coordination. Well, finally, this past year, she appeared at a training session and admitted that coordination is, in fact, the law, and the new manual that the BLM has now put out admits it, acknowledges it, and says, you've got to do it. So
if we can just get our elected officials
exactly
at the local level to do that, because we had that set up kind of with the county. Then, you know, our elected officials thought they could just go have meetings with the agency, and they had it all handled and broke all the rules, and it doesn't work that way.
Well, you remember when we when I went to the head of the Forest Service in D.C., and he imposed on your regional forester to require coordination with the northern counties with regard to the Forest Service.
And now she's gone.
But you see, what happens is the local officials have to stay on that then.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come naturally.
A backdoor meeting. It isn't a county supervisor and the resource management, whoever they are, that go down and have a chat with so-and-so. It doesn't work that way.
That's right. Stop in and have coffee and say, how are things going? That's not the way it works. It works in a government-to-government public meeting. The public is entitled to be there. The public doesn't speak because it is government-to-government.
But it's publicly noticed.
Yes.
And it's publicly held. So they say it all the time. Oh, yeah, we're coordinating.
Oh, yeah, but they aren't.
No, they're not.
They really aren't.
And let's say a board of supervisors, for instance, invokes coordination, right? And they send a notice to the agency and say, we intend to coordinate with you.
Right.
And the process starts off correctly, for instance. Say they meet a few times correctly. They notice the meeting and all that. And then some of the guys from the county with some of the supervisors or one or two or whatever go meet with the forest supervisor, say – Does that blow up the whole process if they break the rules, or can they get back on track? Okay.
There's nothing that prevents them from meeting in between these meetings, but that's not coordination.
So they don't want, if that happens and agreements are reached during that, does it blow up the process or can, because I know that's happened in some places.
Well, it has happened, but it doesn't blow up the process as long as the local officials say, okay, now you got to come now to a coordination meeting. We have to do this publicly. You know, a lot of things get done in discussions outside the public, although you can't do it with a quorum of the commissioners.
But the agencies aren't going to bring that part up.
They're going to
want to go right along with the program. If they want to meet behind closed doors and make an agreement, they'll stick to that. That's what they want.
It's to their advantage because the public doesn't know it then.
Mm-hmm.
It's to the advantage of the federal agencies to have the public know as little about what's going on in meetings with local government as possible.
And you know, this all gets back to what I've been saying for a long time. They all want to go back to the way they used to do business, the old way of politics. And people are much more educated now. They're much more involved. There's a lot more of them. And I think a lot of these public officials better get on the bandwagon and realize that it's not business as usual anymore.
Well, one of the things is that in rural America, people are seeing that these regulations are really anti-rural. Each one of them is harder on rural America than it is on the urban areas.
Oh, yeah. And they count on that.
Right.
Okay, Ferris Bueller's telling us that it's the top of the hour. So when we come back, we're talking about what coordination can do for the state of California for the free people that are left against CARB. Stick with us. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Reading.
More of Fred Kelly Grant in hour number two of We the People next on KCNR. Shasta Reading.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Secretary of State John Kerry says Russia is isolating itself from the rest of the world with its incursion into Ukraine.
I think there's a unified view by all of the foreign ministers I talked with yesterday, all of the G8 and more, that they're simply going to isolate Russia, that they're not going to engage with Russia in a normal business as usual manner.
Kerry says the U.S. is weighing a series of options. The head of the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Rogers, says the U.S. needs to boycott the upcoming G8 summit in Sochi.
I would just cancel in Sochi. I wouldn't talk about the planning session. I would cancel it, and I would go into a very aggressive posture on how we help the Ukraine financially. If they can get through their financial troubles, they could survive.
Rogers on Fox News Sunday. The situation in Ukraine got more tense overnight. Hundreds of unidentified military troops in Russian vehicles have taken up positions outside an infantry base in Ukraine, preventing soldiers there from leaving. The forces inside, who are vastly outnumbered, have stationed a tank at the base's entrance. Also at SRNNews.com, the worst of those torrential rains are moving out of Southern California, but not before triggering mudslides, opening up sinkholes and forcing evacuations.
I can hear the rumble of the rocks going through, so it's changed dramatically.
Jared Smith and Lytle Creek spoke with KNBC. The storm is speeding east, where it's expected to drop up to a foot or more of snow on upwards of 100 million people from Washington, D.C. up through New England. Looks like a demolition derby along a two-mile stretch of Interstate 25 south of Denver yesterday. 104 vehicles slamming into each other in heavy snow. One person dead, more than 30 were injured. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
Snack and soda makers are often blamed for fueling the nation's obesity epidemic. At the same time, however, they're playing a role in educating dietitians who advise Americans on healthy eating.
Frito-Lay, Kellogg, Coca-Cola, and others are essentially teaching the teachers. Their workshops and online classes for the nation's dietitians, part of a behind-the-scenes effort to burnish the images of their snacks and drinks. The practice has raised ethical concerns among some, who say it gives the food industry too much influence over dietitians who take the classes to earn the education credits they need to maintain their licenses.
SRN's Rich Thomason. President Obama continuing his push for a higher federal minimum wage. He plans to make an appearance on Wednesday in Connecticut with Northeastern governors who are backing his push to raise the minimum wage from $7.25 to $10.10 an hour. Republicans say that would lead to job cuts. This is SRN News.
U.S. car owners are carrying higher auto loan balances but still making timely monthly payments.
Credit reporting agency TransUnion says auto loan debt per borrower grew 4.4% to $16,769 in the final quarter of 2013 compared to a year earlier. It was the 11th consecutive quarter to post an annual increase. However, the firm notes the U.S. auto loan delinquency rate ended the last 3 months of 2013 at 1.14%. That remains below the 1.3% average quarterly late payment rate for every October to December quarter going back to 2007. Jeremy House, SRN News.
A Nigerian Red Cross official says 51 people died in twin car blasts at a marketplace in a northeastern city that's birthplace to the country's terrorist group. The blasts are seen as a major setback to a new military offensive against the Islamic uprising. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Wally Hines.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We thought one of our guests was going to be here this morning, but he's in church. We thought we'd just sit here and be sinners and talk crap about the government.
I think that's a buy. I think he gets a free pass on that.
He's
one.
A pass. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll let him slide.
Hey, yeah, I would go to confession after the show if I were you.
Excellent. That's a great. That's a great.
Always
option.
A good plan.
Always a good plan. You can't do too much of that.
I once asked in Baltimore. I asked the Monsignor if it was all right if I just went in and said, "Father, I've done some bad things this week." And if that was sufficient, and he said no.
How well did he know you?
Very well.
Oh, okay, there you go. I just thought I'd clear that up.
Very well.
They want details.
Hey, so you're listening to Hour 2 of We the People Radio. We don't ever start over for you. You just got to catch up. Got to hurry. So
Do so online.
You can. You can do so online, wethepeopleradio.us. All the information about our guest is on there. And we are sitting here with Fred Kelly Grant. He has popped down from Idaho.
If you want to call in.
Oh, yeah, that. We forget about that.
Yeah, we can talk to you on the phone, too. 605-4567. Give us a call.
And after this program, ready, willing, and able to send out archives to your friends, neighbors, other people who need to get smartened up. We've had bunches of shows with Fred. They're all linked there on the website. You can read about him and some of the successes with this process of coordination. We're going to jump into that whole CARB thing with you, Fred, if that's cool. Okay. He's going to be here also on Sovereign Minds Radio next hour. So just in case you're worried we're running out of time, we're not running out of time. And Fred will be speaking at the Reading Tea Party Monday at 6 p.m. So it's all about Fred.
I think that's the first time we've ever held a guest over for the next show on KCNR.
I know. That's why we set it up like that, see, so that we could cheat off of each other. And speaking of which, oops, I threw it on the floor. In order to pay for this show, the nasty money part.
Yeah.
In order to pay.
Gotta go there, don't you?
Exactly. In order to pay for the show, actually, Linda Kent, who is a complete rock star, co-host of the next program on Sovereign Minds, has put together an awesome annual fundraiser. It's our second one. Pays for both these programs for the full year, and you can buy guns. Gun auction.
Win guns. Yeah.
Bid on guns, and you can eat dinner. It's at Wind River. It is coming up on March 8th, next Saturday. Starts at 4:30. Dinner's at 6:30. You can get tickets at Jones Fort. They have Patrick has been awesome helping us with this. Feel free to give them a call, 222-3223 for tickets, or North State Consultants, 221-0101. You can also go online to wethepeopleradio.us, call Bill or call Aaron. And we'll fetch tickets over to you, and it's going to be fun. But you got to get your tickets right away because they've got to call in the dinner orders and all that razzle-dazzle.
And it is filling up, too. I heard from Linda yesterday, and packed fast.
Good thing.
Yeah.
So thanks, Linda. You're awesome. So there. We've done the business end of the deal. Fred, how are you going to make CARB go away and stop beating up on the citizenry of California?
Well,
and destroying our business.
It's going to be tough to make them go away. But because coordination is not an easy process. It's, as we said before, you start it right, but you have to stay on it. And from what I saw yesterday, you have a coordination committee that's determined, and they're well prepared. I found that out in helping them do their first letter, or the letter setting forth the law as to why CARB does have to coordinate. They're very well prepared, and obviously well spoken as they presented yesterday, their credentials and the work that they've done on the committee. In coordination, yesterday's letter, which was signed by Councilman Cadd, and went out to CARB, they'll get it on Monday. It points out that this is a major federal action. They're wrong. They do have to coordinate. It pointed out that they have not taken into account the human environment as they're required to by the Council on Environmental Quality Regulations. Pointed out that that they're violating the Interstate Commerce Clause law, and they're in violation of the 10th Amendment, and that they're depriving citizens of Redding of due process and equal protection. And it gives them an opportunity to come to a meeting, and they've scheduled they've allowed two dates for them to pick to come to a meeting to begin the coordination process. If they do that, fine, that starts the process. And it won't be an easy process because CARB has invested its I'll say reputation, its
Mary Nichols is already the most dangerous woman in America.
Well, it has staked its position on making this program work. In fact, it proposed it to EPA. Now, in most cases, EPA comes up with the rule and imposes it on the state. California came up with it, and EPA adopted it. So they're not going to go easily. One of the things that we will do in this process is hold a public hearing in a few weeks. And at that hearing, it'll be one like we held with regard to the uranium lands in northern Arizona. And we held it with regard to the loggers and the paper companies in Wisconsin and Michigan. And we'll be holding soon with regard to the fishermen on the Chesapeake Bay. EPA is after taking out all of these rural industries mm-hmm. throughout the country. It's not just here. This could be the frontispiece for all those cases, because it is the one place where the state took the lead and provided the standard that the EPA adopted. And that will help those other cases.
Fred, can you real quickly, let the folks know the difference between coordination and cooperation?
Yes, sir. The cooperating agency is what all federal agencies want local government to do. And if you're a cooperating agency, you get to sit through all the planning processes. You can send someone to their planning meetings and so on. When they're ready to adopt their policy, their regulation, or their plan, meaning the federal people or state, they do so, and they don't have to take into account anything that the local government cooperating agency has said. As a matter of fact, in some cases where I've gone in to help the county, they've been a cooperating agency for years, and they say we never see any indication that we were even present at these meetings, and there's nothing in the law that requires it.
Big surprise.
Coordination requires not only that the agency make every attempt to reach consistency, but that it explain why it can't. They have to, in their environmental impact statement, for example, they have to list what the county's or city's position was and why they could not reach consistency with it, why there's no alternative lesser than the one that they're adopting. There's no requirement like that in cooperating agency.
Mm-hmm.
I've often said that my late wife had a great definition or a great way of showing the distinction between the two. Cooperating agency, we sat down and discussed things, and she said what she was going to do, and I agreed, and that was it. In coordination, we sat down. She decided what she was going to do. I said no, and she explained to me why she was going to do it and did it. And with the government, it's really more strenuous than that. They have to not only explain it, but show why they could not, by law, do less than what they're doing and come closer to reaching consistency with the local policy.
And that's going to be tough on this one.
It is
that
tough.
That ought to be quite a tap dance routine.
It is tough.
Because destroying all these industries, I mean, we heard yesterday in the, with people testifying. My favorite part was Scott Swendeman when he was talking about all the equipment out at Shasta College.
Yes.
Yeah. They had to Yeah, they had to get rid of all that equipment, you know, ag equipment, get rid of all of it, buy the new stuff with the filters, but the filters were mounted in such a way that the person driving the equipment couldn't see forward to drive the equipment forward. So they had to take the filters off.
Right.
So our question going home when we kind of talked about that again was, okay, if they had to take the filters off because they couldn't operate the machinery in a safe manner, then they're out of compliance again, right?
That's right.
So they're no better off than they were before. No.
And it was all paid for with taxpayer dollars.
With taxpayer dollars.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's right.
And the school buses, they had to crush up. They had to crush them so they could get the new ones to put these filters on that might catch on fire. So the one guy was saying he tells his grandson to ride in the front.
That's
right. So he's closer to the door.
Well, and what they're doing, they're not even letting them, they're not even letting truck drivers, truck owners, sell their equipment to another state. California has taken on itself to purify the country, not just California, but the country, so that if in fact you have to retrofit or you decide to buy a new truck, you can't sell your old truck into another state. We also heard that the interference in interstate commerce is so severe that there are truckers who actually are stopping at the state line and they transfer trailers to another truck to come in.
Which makes everything less expensive.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, of course, yeah. That'll drive down the cost of goods.
And there was a truck driver there yesterday that verified the fact that a lot of these out-of-state truckers are not going to comply to California regulations. And that's exactly what they plan on doing, is bringing it to the border and let California take it from there. Well, that's
definitely going to drive the price of everything up. We're going
to
be like the Aleutian Islands. They're just going to fly over in the night and chuck pallets of stuff out. We're going to go scramble for it.
Well, you know, if you take their plan and you don't take it in isolation, but you look at it in the relationship of, do you remember California One? Do you remember that planning program that came out a few years ago?
It sounds bad. Is it bad? It sounds bad.
It was. For example, you could take in that plan, you could take the town of Woodland, where my wife lived prior to marrying me and moving to the wonderful state of Idaho. There would be few cars at all in Woodland. People would walk and ride bicycles and take public buses. And that California One program was designed for that. Well, look at what the effect of what CARB is doing is. It's to remove trucks from the highway in California, and yet it is so unsound that there are some cases where they're providing impetus to a person to buy three trucks instead of one, because the regulation will be easier to work with. So it's a rule, it's a plan that is not based on any kind of sound science. It's what the retired scientists that my team is working with now in other areas calls junk science. Mm-hmm. It's the same kind of junk science that caused the cutoff of the water in the Klamath Basin by a professor who said that the suckerfish, which was endangered, would live better if the water behind the dam was deeper. And so,
which is exactly the opposite of reality.
And it's the opposite, yeah. And he later admitted it, but long after the farmers had lost all irrigation water.
See, that's the nutty part. Like the CARB guys, you know, oh, people are dying from pollution. Well, we had the scientist that you're going to work with on the radio.
Right.
And he said if you lived in California for 70 years, over a 70-year period, all sources of parts per million 2.5, so PM 2.5 size particle that you inhale from all sources, volcanoes, forest fires, diesel emissions, pollution from China, ag dust, et cetera, amounts to less than inhaling less than one cigarette.
That's in right. 70 years.
In 70 years. Not per year for 70 years, but over the total course of 70 years.
My God, that's horrible. We need to regulate that.
No lie. Hey, Bob, do you have a good regulation song for us? We need to thank our advertisers here before we wind up bunched up again.
Yeah, because I am getting wound up now.
Because I was starting to get mad.
Yeah, my face is getting red. I'm having flashbacks of the meeting yesterday.
We're getting ready to launch. You're listening to We the People Radio.
I'm going off. Here I go.
We're going to take Bill out and give him some sort of a shot.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies, twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
The home of good health in Reading for over 30 years is Orchard Nutrition. You'll love Orchard's in-store deli, featuring no-nitrate meats and fresh roasted beef from the local Lazy 69 Ranch. Try their bakery fresh bread, and of course, there's organic produce washed in Orchard's purified water. A part of the Reading community for over 30 years, family-owned and operated for three generations, Orchard Nutrition is far more than a health food store. They're the North State Nutrition experts. Orchard Nutrition, 221 Locust Street in Reading.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from.
Aaron loved hurtling down hills on two wheels, but with intense pain in his legs, his mountain bike was gathering more dust than mud. At MD Imaging, he learned his pain was from varicose veins and that his doctor was a mountain biker too. After a minimally invasive procedure, he was pain-free and back on the mountain 2 weeks later with his new bike buddies from the Vascular and Interventional Center. MD Imaging's varicose vein treatments are performed in our comprehensive vein center because personal, high-quality treatment is in our veins.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
Science. I love science.
Carb doesn't.
Science.
Carb's down on science.
Welcome back, all everybody. Right. Hey, we're getting to the juicy part.
Okay, Fred, when you throw it down on coordination and you tell Carb, you must, and you set the hearing and they don't show up.
We're going to have a public hearing and they don't show up.
Right.
How's that work out?
Well, first of all, they've been invited to a meeting and that meeting won't be a public hearing. If they come, you start the coordination process. If they don't, then you set a public hearing. We've done that on the uranium lands in northern Arizona, the loggers in Wisconsin, closing of a road in Michigan, a very important mining road. We're ready to do it with the fishermen in Maryland. That's not a public meeting. It's a public hearing where our team, where we've been retained by the groups as here, puts together the witnesses who make out the case.
And the public can attend?
Yes, the public can attend.
But they can't speak.
Well, the public can even testify if they sign up in advance, but the main witnesses are witnesses that we pick and prepare them. The lawyers who work with me, the scientists who work with me, we prepare them to come in and analyze this rule, and show whether or not there's good sound science behind it, which there will not be, and we already know that. We then call witnesses to testify as to the economic impact. We call witnesses to show there's been no coordination, to show the economic and social impact, because the thing for all people to realize is that it's not just the truck owners and truck drivers who are being impacted by this. It's the barber that cuts the hair of,
exactly.
of the truck driver. It's the waitress that serves coffee. It's the school districts that suffer.
It's all the truck stop owners.
Exactly. Everybody in the community is hurt economically.
Mm-hmm.
Insurance salesmen, realtors, everybody is hurt
mm-hmm.
by the economic harm that is caused by one of these regulations. And so you prove that. Because when you're proving that, then you prove that there's nothing that CARB has done that takes that into account. For example, their economic analysis, quote unquote, in their first report when they started drafting this rule, said that identification of diesel emissions as a toxic had no economic impact. Now, that's just pure ridiculous.
That's just a giant lie.
Right.
What they said is that the identification itself doesn't mean any enforcement of any kind, and so there's no need to even consider economic impact. That's an assumption that's an impotent act.
Right. That's just to take everybody out of the fight and
sure
just move
it is.
Forward.
Sure it is. It's a screen they pull down
mm-hmm.
to make you think, oh, don't worry about it. This is something that may or may not happen off in the future. They know that even identification of it as a toxic has economic impact from that point on. So those are the witnesses we put on. If they come, and they will be invited to come, if they come, they get to respond. And if they don't come, findings of fact are made, conclusions of law are made, and those are sent to them to respond to. That's, again, where coordination comes into play. They are required by the law to respond. If they don't, then you go to the Secretary of Energy. You go to the Council on Environmental Quality. You go to those people and say, we want a hearing now at the federal level because California and the EPA, and the EPA will be invited to this hearing too. They refuse to come and testify. Here are the findings. Those findings also will go to the Appropriations Committee. With the statement that they refuse to coordinate. This is a rule that is unjustified. It's a rule that does more harm. One of the things they're supposed to do in issuing any rule is to judge the environmental impact to the cost benefit ratio. Well, in this case, that is so outlandishly one-sided that it's just pathetic.
Because there is no benefit.
There is no environmental benefit.
They can't prove all their stuff that says that mortality has been increased by this particulate matter.
But they can still trot out their scientists, can't they, and claim that it
– No, because the House Science Committee subpoenaed their information last September or August.
August or September.
Yeah, it was one
or
the other.
Replied.
And they still haven't replied, so I don't think they have anything. I think at the end of the day.
Now, does this process,
if
they don't respond, which I don't think they will.
I'd be surprised if they do.
But does that put this whole thing on hold, or can they just continue to march forward with their plans?
They can continue to march forward with their plan, but my position then would be that we go to that appropriations subcommittee, and we ask them to put language into the appropriations bill for the EPA that the EPA not be allowed to spend any appropriation toward implementing or approving or cooperating with the imposition of the California diesel emission plan or regulation.
Which pretty much denuders them at that point. They can't use any money to...
You can't denuder. You have to just neuter.
You're right.
Well let's say this.
Uncomfortable topic.
Let's say this. It neuters them by defunding them.
Yes. I mean, you take the money away. Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Why are you an expert at that?
I just had to go there.
Plus the fact that
I'm in a room with three men. We got to talk about neutering.
Plus the fact that it also makes
Sorry,
possible
Bob.
Any organization, the city if it wanted to, any other organization to file a lawsuit to enjoin the further implementation of this rule using the public record that we've made
right.
to show that it's an unlawful rule.
Right. And at that point, they're going to have to fold their tent. Otherwise, they're going to just spend tons of money to try to turn over
the facts. And I wouldn't be surprised if they do, because they've made this a real cause. I mean, you look at California's members of the legislature, of the Congress, and the support they give to the president. You look at the president and what he said about EPA. This is my tool. This is my tool for ending coal use in the United States. This is my tool for clean air. And I'm going to do it by executive order because the Congress won't. This very same type of regulation and program was before the Congress in the cap and trade legislation, and sure. they refused to pass it.
Well, is there some point in this process that can require them to stop and not implement anything until it's settled?
Well, that's what happened in with the uranium lands. The counties there went into court seeking an injunction, and using our public record as the basis of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the government came in and moved to dismiss, and the judge said no. He denied the motion to dismiss, and the injunction is now going to trial. And if we win there, then yes, it stopped. He can't withdraw those lands.
And they can continue to fight the ruling at that point, because they're obviously got more money than anybody else, but they can't implement anything. So we can continue on business as usual.
In the perfect storm, that's the perfect goal, is to get into a place where you can get an injunction and stop it.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense, because I think that's what everybody's looking at. it's break time, huh?
It's break time.
Isn't it break time?
It's break time. Good job, Fred. You're hired. You can be here every week. Oh, my gosh. Besides that, you were here early. You didn't get the memo.
That's right. I had an extra 15 minutes outside.
He calls us up. Hey, are you guys coming in? Yeah, sorry. Oh, my goodness. All right, Bob. What do you got for us? We'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR.
Fort.
Time is truly wasted. There's no guarantee. Smile isn't gonna make it. You gotta fight the powers that be. Got so many voices.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Hey, it's Rachel Lane with KCNR 1460 AM, inviting you to join us Sundays at 4 for The Kitchen Sink. It's a show about everything and the kitchen sink. We'll be discussing everything from parenting to science, arts, culture, music, and we'll be highlighting some very important community members right here Sundays at 4 o'clock. Please join us every Sunday, 4 to 5, right here on 1460 AM and KCNR1460.com. It's The Kitchen Sink with me, Rachel Lane, on Free Fire Radio.
We the People and Sovereign Minds want to invite you to the second annual banquet and fundraiser for Conservative Talk Radio at Wind River Casino on March 8th. Doors open at 4:30, dinner is at 6:30. There will be an auction, raffle, and a dessert auction with dinner. For more information, contact Patrick Jones at 530-222-3223 or Linda Kent at 221-0101. Wind River Casino, March 8, 2014. Thank you for your support.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Lies, lies, I can't believe a word you say. Lies, lies, I'm gonna make you sad someday.
Play that song every show.
I know it.
Do you think we wouldn't need that anymore? I guess that's in some other alternate universe.
You know, that reminds me, yesterday there was a gentleman that got up in the meeting and talked about he bought a new truck, I believe in 2008, spent, I don't know, $100,000 on it or some ridiculous number.
And a big truck.
A big 18-wheeler truck. And he actually worked with EPA and made sure, because he wanted to be able to run this truck basically until the wheels fell off, and he wanted to make sure he bought the right one. And so he bought the truck, and it had the EPA stickers on it and everything. They said, oh, you'll be fine, everything's great. Well, here he is 5 years later, and he is now going to have to spend somewhere between $20,000 and $60,000 to upgrade this truck, which is basically going to make him move out of state or go out of business. You can't spend that kind of money. I mean, he's still making payments on this truck. It's only 5 years old.
Well, at the end of the day.
And that's lies.
Exactly.
Lies.
And I just want to point out that if you're not on the chat room, you're missing the whole other side of the program that we cannot repeat, or we'd be using the button all the time. But it's gotten kind of hot in the chat room.
The Howard Stern version.
Yeah, yes. The Howard Stern chat room. And if you're listening to this on the archive, you should have tuned in on Sunday morning.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Miss it at your peril. So
some
Fred,
of these stories.
Okay,
by
so
the way,
stuff
I guess
like
we
that.
Should say that CARB is the California Air Resources Board.
Yeah,
because of some of the identifications you've read to me.
Yeah, I was reading him some of the things that were on the chat room that were pretty good. Because we had Warren Duffy on here quite some time ago, and he always calls it the California arbitrary rules for bankruptcy.
Yeah, well, that's,
which is actually pretty accurate. But
it is.
But the nicely Elena from Montana was like, "What does that even mean anyway?" And of course, people had their own ideas on how CARB could be acronymed. But okay, so. These guys, when they make rules, part of their rulemaking is that they have to consider economic factors.
Absolutely.
But they just don't do it.
And human factors.
Yeah.
Yeah, the human environment is defined by the Council on Environmental Qualities in the White House. They were set up by the National Environmental Policy Act.
And it's a group of people?
Yeah.
Okay, and so who are they? How do you get to them? And what are they sleeping?
Well, they unfortunately serve at the pleasure of the White House, and so consequently, they're going to be in line with the administration, but they do have to follow their own rules, and their rules require that the human environment be considered as the primary source of information in the environmental impact statement. And they define the human environment as including economics, social structure, culture, aesthetics, as well as the natural environment. I was a NEPA fighter for years when I was working for the ranchers and farmers. I thought this is the worst thing ever. When I took on the Trans-Texas Corridor in Texas, I was trying to show that they were going to destroy an entire ecosystem. So I started looking at the environmental laws, and lo and behold, I come across this human environment definition. I didn't even know it was there. And I've used it very successfully since. They do not, you won't find references to the human environment in any of their NEPA work, because
surprise,
most of their regulations can't meet the standards of considering that human environment. And that's not true. That's not unique to CARB. I mean, that's the case in most cases.
Sure.
One of the things that they don't comply with either is the Data Quality Act, which requires that they be able to verify the objectivity, the relevance, the soundness of their science, and they don't do that, and they can't do that. For example,
because
here,
they don't have sound science,
exactly.
Then it doesn't. Yeah, this stuff doesn't
and
add
it's
up.
Not relevant. I think it's Dr. Inman. Is that
Enstrom?
Enstrom.
Yep.
Has pointed
James
out,
Enstrom
has pointed out it's not relevant. It's too old. It relates to a different disease than what you could even reasonably attach to diesel. So that's an act that they haven't complied with. Another one that they haven't complied with that is not even mentioned in this letter. And by the way, I would urge your listeners to get a copy of the letter that the City of Reading sent out yesterday, because it does outline the deficiencies in CARB's rule.
Where do they get a copy of that, Fred?
I think I was just looking. Dun, 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 dun. I think we have it on the website.
Yeah, because that's going to be that's going to be a very important document for other agencies to look at. And
we will put that on the website. We will ask Robert to get a hold of Mr. Cad, and we'll get that on the website.
One of the things we didn't mention in there, which will come in the next communication, is the Regulatory Flexibility Act.
Oh, yeah.
Before any regulation is passed, the agency is supposed to do a study of all towns, cities, counties, less than 50,000 population to determine whether there's going to be an adverse impact on them. That Regulatory Flexibility Act is ignored by virtually every agency because a lot of these regulations will have an adverse impact on hundreds of communities in California that are less than 50,000 population. Now, it can be an effective act when the Inter-Columbia Ecosystem Plan was proposed years ago that would have taken out grazing in all of Idaho. Then Congressman Nethercutt from Eastern Washington, congressional liaison called me and said, what can we do to stop this thing? He was on the Appropriations Committee, and I said, use the Flexibility Act. So when the secretary came in to seek the appropriation, Congressman Nethercutt was the last one to ask questions, and he said, Mr. Secretary, where is your Regulatory Flexibility Act report? Well, he had to turn to his assistant to see what that was.
Wow.
And when he turned back to answer, he said, well, Representative, we don't have that yet. And he said, well, aren't you supposed to have it before you implement your regulation? And he turned back to his assistant and he said, well, Representative, that would take us a year to complete. So Nethercutt turned to the chairman. He said, Mr. Chairman, I guess we'll see them next year then. And they turned down that appropriation.
Yeah.
Well, they never went back with that study because they couldn't.
Sure.
They couldn't satisfy that statute. And and that's going to be the same thing here with the CARB, which they now say in court is a federal rule. If it is, the Regulatory Flexibility Act applies. So every tool you've got, we have to use.
Yeah, we
got
to use them all.
And the team that I've put together, that Mark Block, I think you met Mark mm-hmm. yesterday, that Mark and I have put together to follow these cases, we're prepared, we're well prepared to deal with every single tool, every single issue that we need to try to stem the tide with these folks.
And I know Mark was going to send it to me. I don't know that he has yet. I was just checking my email. He's going to send me information on how people can support this effort.
Yes.
Because obviously all these attorneys don't fall from the sky. And
that's right.
And
we do work through a 501c3 so that it's tax deductible. And it is the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise. And I'm sure that, in fact, I can send you that too. I can send you that with their EIN number or whatever those initials are
mm-hmm.
That the person uses. And they make the donations to, in fact, the email I send you will tell you how to do that. You make it to the Center for the Defense of Free Enterprise, and you mark on your check or whatever what project it's for.
And one of the questions that came up yesterday was, if this is successful in Reading, does it only affect the people in Reading, or is this something that can go statewide, or will all of California be affected by it?
All of California will be affected by it. When we stopped the Trans-Texas Corridor in Texas, there were four little towns that led the fight. They were the only ones that had the nerve to do it. They had a population combined of only 6,000 people. The mayors were unpaid. They were volunteer mayors. But we used coordination to stop that corridor. Well, it stopped it for everybody in Texas.
So if Redding is successful, every little town down the road isn't going to have to do the same thing we did to keep them off of their backs.
That's right. That's why people really ought to support this effort.
Right.
Because
right.
It's an effort that will benefit everybody. And believe me, I wish it were as easy as it sounds when I say it, but it's not. This is a big fight. We're fighting the heavyweights, and mm-hmm. we're lightweights.
Oh, they're already funded, and they're already lined up with the best attorneys and everything else.
Well, the most attorneys.
Right. I retract that.
I would hope they're not the best.
They're not the best.
but they have plenty of them. It reminds me of the comedian Ron White.
Yeah, like that
guy. When he does that routine, he said he got thrown out of a bar in New York. And he didn't know how many of them it would take to throw him out, but he knew how many they were going to use.
And they were right.
And they were right.
Isn't that the one where he was drunk in public?
Yes. Yes, that's the one. That's the one.
I've never been drunk in public. At least not recently.
I haven't either in 29 years.
You know, you and I quit drinking probably about the same time. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is scary and fun all at once.
It could all change on March 8th.
On March 8th, yeah. Oh yeah, that's true, at the big fundraiser. Yeah, you know, stick around, Fred. You can get some guns.
I'd like to be here. My wife is looking for one. I'm not sure I want her to have one. It just could be
kind of takes you out of the coordination process, doesn't it?
she really does have a temper, and I give her reason to lose it many times. And as long as she doesn't have one, I just get yelled at. But boy,
you can dodge a frying pan. You can see it coming. It's pretty slow. Oh my! On that, do you have any music for that, Bob?
Oh yeah.
Okay. We'll expect to hear that when we come back from the break. You're listening to We the People Radio. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Tune in to Sovereign Minds at a new time on Sunday at 10 a.m. right after We the People on AM 1460 KC. CNR.
We rock!
Well, Bob, you are irresistible.
Oh, pure and simple.
Naturally the best.
We're Mount Shasta Springwater.
Hey, Robert, nice to see you again.
Don, imagine you being here.
Yeah, 11 to 1 every Sunday.
Oh, man, this is the place to be, 11 to 1.
Why don't you join us? We have a good time.
I think I will. I think I'll do that every Sunday. It's so much fun.
It is, isn't it? We talk about all kinds of things here on our own community radio.
For the North State.
Remember, Sunday from 11 to 1. Join us on KCNR, 1460 AM, community radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you?
Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in every Saturday to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
So catch us from 8 to 9 Saturday mornings on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Join the conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
We are amazed but not amused by all the things you say that you do. So much concerned but not involved with decisions that are made by you. But we are sick and tired of hearing the song telling how you are gonna change right from wrong. Cause if you really want to hear our views, you haven't done nothing.
You haven't done nothing.
Exactly.
Welcome back.
Fred's gonna whoop up on him.
If you want to call,
hopefully.
If you want to call in 605-4567, this could be your last chance.
It's too late.
Is it too late?
It's too late. Don't give him the phone number. We forgot to do it for like 2 hours. All right, go ahead and speed dial us.
We care.
No, we were chatting with Fred.
But if you do call, make sure you wait till 9:58.
Yeah, 9:58. get all your views in.
We did have somebody do that. We're like, we're ignoring you. Oh my gosh. All right. So in our hot 10 minutes, our final hot 10 minutes, before you flip over to the next show and talk about this for another hour, you probably get more done. We goofed off way too much. Those other guys are going to have to be serious. Okay. So what can people who really don't understand about the CARB thing, why should they care about it?
They should care about it because it's going to affect every part of California's economy. It's going to affect every part of California's social structure. California is a big state. Transportation has played an important part in the development of it from the beginning of time. And California's economy has been based on transportation. Seaports, you've got some of the major seaports in the world, and everything that comes in there has to be trucked away. Everything that comes from the East Coast has to be trucked in. Today with NAFTA, you've got trucks coming from Mexico, trucks from Canada. When you take out a significant portion of independent truckers, one of the things you've done is create a monopoly. And that leads to higher prices. Because when you cut out the smaller independent companies, the big companies that can afford to put these filters on can charge a higher price because there's no competition. And that affects the price of a loaf of bread in the store. Mm-hmm. It affects the price of tuition in any kind of a non-state school or even state schools. There's no part of life in California that is immune from the effect of what this regulation will do.
Well, I actually had somebody tell me when I brought that up. I said, look, you're going to be paying more, and you already are paying more at the grocery store for your groceries because of the increased cost of shipping. And they said, well, I don't pay freight. It's like, boy, where do you go from there? I mean, people, everybody pays the freight.
There's no cost that is imposed on a transporter or on a producer that isn't passed on to the customer.
No.
If that wasn't the case, they'd go out of business.
Well, absolutely. I hear this. I work at a heavy equipment company here in the area, and I hear it from our customers all the time. 5 years ago, it cost me about $5 to ship a package to Bernie or one day delivery for a 1 pound package. Today, it's anywhere from 10 to 12, and a lot of the outlying areas, because of the way they're changing their routing with UPS and FedEx, it can range up to $15 now. Now, a lot of that is fuel. You know, fuel has gone up in the last 5 years, but it's going to be way higher than that once all these California truckers have to comply with CARB.
Well, the other thing is that the fuel price is going up, too, because you heard testimony yesterday that with these filters, you're not going to get the same mileage.
Nope.
Yep. And so that's an increased cost to the trucker.
And they pick that cost up immediately and pass it on.
Well, then to sort of fast forward it a little bit, then we bring in all of the agricultural equipment that's going to need the filters. Then the timber equipment's going to need the filters. Then pretty soon the cars are going to need blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
Meanwhile, the other states are going, ooh, hey, if this works good over there, we're going to do it. So anybody listening to this who isn't in the state of California is thinking, you know, you poor slobs. Yeah. You know, you ought to get out of there while you can.
Yeah, they better be sending a check is what they better be doing.
You better pray we stay here and fight it because it's coming your way, too.
Yes, it is.
There's a reason why California created the standard that EPA adopted. It's the one that other states better be watching because it's the same one. That will sweep eastward this time. A lot of things start in the east and sweep westward. This one isn't. This one goes.
No, California is now the hotbed of the proving ground for so much of this environmental stuff.
Well, with a two-thirds, you know, Democrat majority in the Senate, which, you know, again, this in 2014, guys, you know, we all better get off our buns, talk to our friends and neighbors, and whether the candidates are perfect or imperfect, if they're not complete idiots and communists, you know, you better punch the ticket.
Oh, I guarantee you that the $3 bag of potatoes is going to be $6 or $8 by the time this is done, and then they're going to wonder what happened.
You know, when Herman Cain made his run for president, they asked me if I would spend a little time with him and explain Western issues to him. So I went up to Portland, and they told me I had 15 minutes with him. And I said, I'm supposed to explain the Western issues in 15 minutes. So I walked in, and he said, well, what have you got to tell me? And I said, there's no change that you can make in Washington if you're president. Well, that got his attention. And I started telling him that unless the White House does something about regulations, this is going to continue because bureaucrats are running this. 2.5 hours later, they're trying to drag me out of there because his whole schedule, you know, has gone up in flames. But it's the truth.
It is.
And now President Obama has declared war with the executive orders. Congress has been made, they've been neutered.
Mm-hmm.
They have no
We've
oversight.
We've come full circle.
Yeah, they have no oversight. The president is doing this by executive order, and he has, as the head of the EPA, a lady who is perfectly willing to push even beyond his executive orders.
Well, and these bureaucrats, it's been proven time and time again, they don't have to answer for their actions.
No, they don't.
They can plead the fifth and retire and keep their pensions and move on and hand it down to the next guy. And it takes years to drag them out of the weeds to find out what happened.
It does. And it takes even longer to get rid of the staffs because the staffs, even if you have term limits, the staffs rotate.
Yeah.
Especially back there because you have 535 members of the House and the Senate. And, yeah, a lot of people slide. And if they're great, awesome.
Yep.
But if they're not great and you don't know who they are, that's the thing.
That's exactly right.
I figured that out a while back. When we started inviting candidates to come and speak, I started noticing that the people who called our local Tea Party to speak, whose campaign people were complete jerks.
Right.
You know, like, you know, we will be there and we will speak for an hour and we will not debate, and it's like, really? Planet are you on? It's our group. And then the guy would show up or the gal and it's like, oh my God, you're just like your creepy campaign staff.
Oh yeah.
It's like, very telling.
And I think it's to the advantage of every Californian to help support the city in this effort because the city has been courageous enough to step up. Your coordination committee has been energetic enough to put all this together, and they better support them because it will affect every part of the social structure of California.
Absolutely. You know, real quick, a story. I was out of town.
We don't have time for a story from you. Go ahead.
I was in Oroville Friday, and I drove by a parking lot for a major CVS drugstore. And in the corner, the far corner of the parking lot, there were 8 spaces. You know, in the front of the stores, they have the handicap parking.
Right.
Well, in the far corner of this parking lot were 8 spaces with signs that said, clean air vehicle parking.
Yeah.
And it was all marked, and so only the people with clean air vehicles, which I'm not really sure how we determine who's what on that, but they now have special parking for these people that drive clean air vehicles, whatever they are.
That's right.
That's incredible to me. But they were at the very far end of the parking lot, and nobody was parked there.
Yeah, isn't that cute?
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Yeah. It came right behind the email from my brother who's in Afghanistan right now, who sent us a picture of the poo pond.
Yeah, yes.
I sent this to him. I said, hey, you need some clean air vehicle parking next to your poo pond there.
And he did correct us and tell us that he can guarantee 100% of the vehicles over there are not clean air vehicles.
Right.
Because we're going to fix the entire fictional air quality problem here in California. We are now in charge of the entire world.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right.
All right. We just got the 1 minute warning.
Yeah. Fred, thank you very much for being on this morning.
As always, I've enjoyed it.
And Fred is captive here for another hour. For those of you that are like, I had questions, your phone number is 530-605-4567 and you'll be joining Sovereign Minds here in 30 seconds.
Stay on the chat because the chat is on fire today.
Oh yeah. Keep rolling on the
chat.
Some
great questions. And thank you everybody in the chat room for joining in this morning.
See you kids next week. We're talking to Senator Cruz from Oregon. He is, state senator up there. We have lots of problems. We'll be talking more about problems.
Yeah. See you, everybody.
Not the one from Texas.
Not the one from Texas. Nope. He's K-R-U-S-E.
Oh, okay.
Different guy.
Still working on
the other one.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much, Fred Kelly Grant, for staying over. Stay tuned for Mark Kent and Linda Kent. It's Sovereign Minds next on KCNR Shasta Redding.
SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. Secretary of State John Kerry calling Russia's military incursion into Ukraine an incredible act of aggression, and he's weighing options, including some economic sanctions.
There could even be, ultimately, asset freezes, visa bans. There could be certainly a disruption of any of the normal trade routine. There could be business drawback on investment in the country.
Kerry on NBC's Meet the Press. The head of the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Rogers, has a suggestion.
I clearly would start the process to remove them from the G8, and I would do it in a very public way with milestones that they could either meet or lose their opportunity to continue to serve in the G8.
Rogers on Fox News Sunday. The G8 scheduled to meet in Sochi later this spring. There is a tense standoff in Crimea this morning. Unidentified military troops in Russian vehicles massed outside an infantry